Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to the Kal Shari Avram Iyun HaParsha series. We are holding Baruch Hashem on Parshas Bamidbar, another beautiful chelek of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. It's interesting to note, just as an observation, that the Chinuch does not have any mitzvahs in the Parsha of Bamidbar. But of course, every Parsha is complete and filled with many inyanim. Just sometimes it takes a little bit longer and a little bit deeper to glean some significant inyanei iyun from this week's parsha. The pasuk says in this week's parsha in Bamidbar Aleph Yud Ches, speaking about the countings of Bnei Yisrael, ve'eis kol ha'eda hikilu be'echad l'chodesh ha'sheni v'yisyaldu al mishpechosam leveisa voisam b'mispar sheimais ben esrim shana v'mala legulgeloisam. We're speaking about each shevet, each person in a shevet who's counted, and we attribute that person to one of the Yudbeis Shvatim. The question is, what does the word mean, vayisyaldu? It's not the correct grammar context, meaning they were born. Says Rashi, what does vayisyaldu mean? A very strange grammar usage. Hevi'u sifre yichuseyem ve'edei chezkas leidasam kol echad ve'echad his yachis al hashevet. Rashi says that everybody was born again, so to speak. How were they born again? Because many people, we did not have the knowledge of which shevet they were from. Well, of course, if you're part of a shevet, you're going to have a nachla from that shevet. You're going to get Eretz Yisrael from that shevet's portion. You're going to have a Yerusha. You're going to have an inheritance from that shevet as well. So how do we know which shevet you are from? Says Rashi, they came and they brought rayas. They brought proofs that they were in fact part of so-and-so shevet. What proofs did they bring? Says Rashi, they brought shtarois, sifre yichuseihem, and they brought edim on the chezkas leidasam. So this fits into a classic nashim nezikim yeshivisha approach, where we had a suffix in mamon. We didn't know, do these people have a right to the Yerusha or not? And says Rashi, in order to take part in the Yerusha, they had to bring a raya, and they brought a shtar, or they brought Edim, and of course we know both Shtarais and Edim are effective Rayais as it relates to Inyone Mamain. If you look at the Ramban in Maramaka number 3, Offen Art, right over here, the Ramban is a very quizzical Ramban and a very difficult Ramban to understand. Says the Ramban, Maramaka number 3, V'einenu Nira, he brings Rashi and he says, I disagree with Rashi. Sheyu tzrichim lahavi shtar ve'edim al yichuseim l'shifteihem. And therefore, the Ramban gives his own approach to explaining the word vayisyaldu. And this is a very cryptic Ramban. What exactly is he asking on Rashi? All he says is that, I don't think Rashi is correct, that they needed edim or they needed shtarais. And l'cha'ira, even from a simple question, what is the Ramban talking about? How can one claim that he has a right to mamon, a right to money, in halacha, if you don't have any raya, you don't have any proof? You have no shtar, you have no edim, what right do you have to go and say, I'm a Yerish? Halavai, I should walk over to the Rockefellers and say, oh, I'm also a Rockefeller. What's your proof? I don't have any proof. I have no witnesses. I have no shtaris. But I also want a chelik in the Yerusha. Obviously, that's nonsensical. That doesn't have any pshat. The chayor of the Ramban is very difficult to understand. And that which we're asking on the Ramban is really asked by Rabbi Chanan in the Kovet Shiurim. In Bava Basra, in Tuf Reish Chaf Aleph, Maramaka number 4, Rabbi Chanan, Hashem Yakoim Damai, he brings the Rashi, he brings the Ramban, and he asks really what we're asking, V'tzarech Ian, Vaz Zok the Ramban, what is the Ramban talking about? There a Misha Bava Amar Yosho Sho Ploini Ani, Tzarech Edim, Lahitzi Mecheskasa Yoshim, of course, you have to bring Edim, you have to bring witnesses, a proof, just to take money out of the Chazaka of the Yoshin. And Rabbi Chanan asks another question. Even if you would have a majority that would indicate you are a Yerush, it still would not be sufficient. Because ein hochen b'mamon achar harov. So really the Ramban is very tzarech iyun ayin sham in the Hemshech of Rabbi Chanan, how he comes to answer the Ramban. We're not going to focus on that today. But what we are going to focus on is this yesod that Rabbi Chanan brings as it relates to our Rashi and our Ramban. The yesod of Ein Holchid B'mamon Achar Haroi. We don't use majority to make determinations in financial and monetary matters. And L'Chaira, even though this is the bread and butter of Nashim Nezikim, we're all familiar with this yesod, but it's a little bit hard to understand, just to revisit the question once again, why not? Why don't we use majority, do we not use roiv, to make determinations in monetary matters? We use it in erva, we use it in isurim, we use it in mitzvahs. Roiv is a very ecumenical concept. It applies across the gamut of halacha. So why is that when it comes to mammon, all of a sudden, we don't operate with a framework of roiv, and we have the well-known, established classical principle of ein hochen b'mammon, achar haroiv? And there's two major approaches in the Achronim to understand why, in fact, ein hoch b'mammon achar haroiv. We'll call it the Chazaka approach or the Seichel approach. If you look at the Chasam Sofer in Bava Basra on Tadi Beis Amon Aleph, the Chasam Sofer says, really, you could use roiv when it comes to mammon. But the problem is, when somebody has possession of a type of mammon, he has a Chazaka. And that Chazaka is stronger than roiv. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Hele Gezeide, Inyan ein halchad mamon achar haroiv, hatam hum yishum de chazaka ma'ashe biyad adam hu olim, v'efshar lohoitzi ma'ashe tafas ze'u v'heter osi liyode. Says the Hele Chasam Sofer, that chazaka kol ma'ashe tachas yad adam sheloihu, when you have ownership of something, something is in your possession, that is a stronger determination than roiv, and not the pshat that ein halchad mamon achar roiv, not the pshat that roiv can never be used, but just chazaka is better. So the lamdas of the Chasam Sofer is the Chazaka of Mammon is stronger than the mechanism of Roiv. If you look at the Kuntres HaSfekas from the Baal Shev Shmaitza in Vav Gimel, he really says a very similar Yesod. And he said that the Pshat, why, Ein Hoch Mammon Achar Roiv, is because the person who has the money has a Chazaka, and there is a minority that contradicts the majority, so you have a Chazaka and a Miyot. Well, we know that principle is called smoich mi'uta lechazaka. If you have the miyot saying the money belongs to you, and the chazaka saying it belongs to you, those two together are stronger than a roiv. Says the Kuntres HaSfekas, v'ikar taima de Shmuel, de'ein holchen b'mammon achar haroiv, hu mishum de smoich mi'uta lechezkas mammon v'havale palga u'palga. So a little bit different than the Chasam Sofer, where the Chasam Sofer says the Chazak alone is sufficient. The Kuntres HaSfekas says it's the Chazak and the Miyot. But regardless, side of the Chasam Sofer, side for the Kuntres HaSfekas, the reason why Ein Hochen B'marach Aroiv is because there's a Chazaka that opposes that Roiv. So that's the reason why we can't follow Roiv when it comes to Mammon. However, if you look at Reb Shimon Shkop in Shara Yesher Gimel Gimel, Reb Shimon has what we'll call the intellectual approach. And he says that it's not the reason that roiv and chazaka and the whole yeshivish bag of tricks, chazakas and roivs and sveikas, and you put it all together and the chazaka of mammon is better. He says that when it comes to monetary matters, when it comes to financial dinim, these really function on what we would call an intellectual consensus, a haskamas sichli, that when it comes to monetary matters, things have to be intellectual. They have to be reasonable. They have to be understandable. And says Reb Shimon Shkop, that roiv is not an intellectual approach. It is a din. It's a halacha that achirav lahatos. So roiv works when it comes to chukim, when it comes to dinei hatorah, like erva, like mitzvah, like iser. But when it comes to mammon, mammon is fundamentally an intellectual type of halacha, so that has to follow normative seichel. And just because you have a majority in your favor, that's not enough to say you have the right to get the money. Says Rabbi Chanan, says Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry, Alba b'mamayna le'ozil basa ruba. Why? Hakavana de'bedinim she'yosaydem chayka taira. Things that are divine, statute, iser, mitzvah, erva, things that are only in the dini ha'taira. So in those cases, says the taira, le'ozil basa roiv. Alba b'mamon she'yosaydehu haskama sichli. It is what we'll call an intellectual consensus, the common man's approach to money. Kinyanim are like that. When it comes to other types of halachas of money, it's like that. Gam bir hasfekas taliyapi seichel v'svara. It has to be through intellect. It has to be through svara. Im leib mekaymesh mefurish b'tayra, unless the Torah tells you specifically otherwise, like edim and shvois. So says Rabbi Chanan, says Rabbi Shimon, a fascinating yisoid, that when it comes to mammon has to be intellect. It has to be seichel. And roiv is not seichel. And the best reason why roiv is not seichel is because 50.1 and 49.9 tell anybody in the world, they would say that's 50-50. That's the same. In halacha, 50.1 is a roiv, and that side will win. That's just an access point to show us that a roiv is really not something seichel, and really it is a gzeiras ha-kosev. So that's Reb Shimon's approach. Not that the chazak is better, but that financial matters, in a sense, are mufka, are removed entirely from the principle of Raiv. And l'chayra, with this machlekes between the Chasam Sofer and Reb Shimon, we could also explain a machlekes Rashi and Taisvis. Again, a machlekes Reb Shimon and the Chasam Sofer is the reason why ein holchet b'mar achar Raiv, is because the opposing chazaka is weaker, or is it because monetary matters are removed from inyanei Raiv? Says Rashi in Bava Metzia on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, speaking about a case where a Metzia, something is lost in the street, and the city is majority Goyim. Says Rashi, Dekeben deruba kananim, Dilma de kananim hu. So you don't have to make a hachrasa, you don't have to call out and say, maybe this Metzia belongs to somebody, because the majority of people in the city are non-Jews, so you have no chiyav of hashavas aveda. But says Rashi, you're not allowed to keep it, even though it's a lost object in a city that belongs to majority Goyim. You find a lost watch in Times Square. Says Rashi, you can't keep it. Why? Even though the majority of owners are Goyim, and therefore I should be allowed to keep it. Says Rashi, no, ein hochet b'mamon achar harayv. Taisvis in Bava Basra, Chaf Gimel and Beis says, I don't know what Rashi is talking about. Says Taisvis, of course, when there is a chazaka opposing a raiv, so the cheskas mamon is better. But if there's no chazaka and you only have a raiv, of course raiv even operates in money. So amachlekes Rashi and Taisvis, what's going to be in a case where it is a din of mamon, it is a monetary aspect, but there's no chazaka. Nobody has dominion or bailus over it. It's a lost object. There's nobody holding on to it. Nobody's name on it. Nobody has title on it. There's a lost watch in Times Square. There is definitively no chazaka on this object. So if there's no chazaka, are we allowed to follow Raiv? Says Rashi, you still can't follow Raiv. Ein hochet b'mamon achar Raiv. Says Taisvis, of course you could follow Raiv in this case. What's the hesber? L'chayra, the Rishonim are already really telling us it's the machlekes the Chasam Sofer and Reb Shimon. If you learn that ein hochet b'mamon achar Raiv is a principle based upon the opposing chazaka, the chazaka of mamon is stronger than Raiv, so if there's no chazaka of mamon, Raiv now can triumph. Raiv now can operate and paskin for us. That's the approach of the Chasam Sofer, the approach of the Kunshas Fekas, and the approach of Taisvis. But if you don't like Reb Shimon, that when it comes to financial matters, we have to use intellect. We have to use what we'll call intellectual consensus. Raiv is a principle that is entirely removed from financial matters. So that's the Chayr Rashi above Metzi, even if there's no Chazaka on this watch, because it's sitting in Times Square, but it's totally irrelevant. Because Mamain and Raiv are two concepts that are diametrically opposed. One does not operate in the other, and therefore even without a Chazaka, you're still not able to have the Halacha of Raiv. So Machlekes Rashi and the Ramban, whether the Shvatim needed shtarais and edim to prove which chelek they were from. The Ramban says they do not. We saw Rabbi Chanan's Kasha and Kovet Shiurim, who says that what's the Ramban talking about? You can't just claim you're part of a Yerusha, and certainly you have the principle of Ein Holchan B'mar Acher HaRoiv. We explained two approaches in the din of Ein Holchan B'mar Acher Roiv. A Chasam Sofer, Kuntres HaSfekas, that it's because the Chazak of Mamon is better. Reb Shimon and Shar Yesher, that Mamon is a Seichel HaTaira, it's something that's Sichli, and therefore Roiv does not operate. And we explain the Machlekes Rashi and Taisvis, whether there's going to be a case of Mamon that has no Chazaka, but there is a Roiv. Can the Roiv be effective? Lefi Taisvis, it can be. That fits with Chasam Sofer and Kuntres HaSfekas. No Chazaka, yes Roiv. Or the approach of Rashi and Reb Shimon, that even without a chazaka, Raiv itself is removed from operating in the aspect of Mamon, and therefore even without a chazaka, there's still not going to be any way for Raiv to operate. So today we covered a Reb Shimon, a Reb Chanan, a Chasam Sofer, a Kuntres HaSfekas, a lot of lamdas. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.